All right, I'll start reading here at verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land, and begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. All right, now, what we said here is that you and I have an inheritance. Now, God is the one who gave it to us. No man gave it to us. God gave it to us. And God wants us to receive our inheritance. And what is happening here is he's just not talking about a piece of real estate here, but he's talking about this whole inheritance that we have as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about really restoring the conditions of the Garden of Eden in our lives. So it's much more than real estate. So the purpose that we found that we have for our lives is dominion, that you and I are to have dominion over this earth. And this blessing is what he gave mankind to execute this dominion, or to have this dominion. So he says over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then in verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we are saying now that this blessing was now on Adam, or mankind, Adam and Eve, and that this blessing was supposed to go on every person who was to be in the population of this earth. However, what happened with Adam is that God put Adam in the garden and told him not to eat of a certain tree. And he said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? Die. Well, in chapter 3, we see where Adam and Eve ate of the tree. And when they ate of it, they did die. Now, what did they die? What did they do when they died? They got separated from God. Death, spiritual death, is to be separated from God. So they got separated from God, and now these things that God had planned for Adam's life could not come to pass. In other words, one of the things that he lost was the blessing. So he lost the ability to do what God told him to do. And so now this blessing is gone. Now, why is the blessing gone? The blessing is gone because Adam is dead. The blessing cannot be separated from you. Once the blessing is on your life. Now, how powerful is the blessing? The blessing is the same power God used to create all matter. So if that be the case, this blessing now is on Adam. It's called an empowerment. An empowerment. Now, what is an empowering Adam to do? It's empowering Adam to fulfill God's plan for his life, to actually do the things that God has planned for him to do. And in fact, if this blessing is not there, it'll be difficult for a person to gain fulfillment. In other words, in terms of a human gaining or fulfilling the things that God has called them to do. The blessing guarantees fulfillment in your life. Glory to God. And so when this power, the blessing, comes on you, it comes on you and empowers you. One place said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, he talks about this blessing coming on someone. He said that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. See, you need power to fulfill your destiny. You need power to prosper. You need power to be free. You need power to be healed. You need power to bring forth these things that God is talking about. Because you're up against an enemy that respects only power. And so this is something that now has this word blessing comes from the root word barak, which means to bless. And this word bless means to be empowered or endued with power for success. So now Adam now is in a place where the blessing is lost because he violated God's word, and sin actually stops the blessing from flowing, stops the blessing from operating as it should. And so what we have to do is we have to stay out of sin ourselves, because it stops the blessing from operating. See, that's why I said to you last week that when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, he came down with the Ten Commandments. You found them over here in Exodus chapter 20. I'm not going back there. But I shared with them with you last time. He said, you know, thou shalt not worship any other gods, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not steal, or whatever it was. It's not that God is not telling people. His purpose in doing that with people who came out of bondage was to try to get. See, the first thing you got to do is get the person. You got to get the person out of the mess. Then you have to get the mess out of the person. See, so he got him out of Egypt, but now he's got to get Egypt out of them. So to do that, he had to give them scriptures or the word of God, which would cause them to align again with the purposes of God, so that the power of God can come on their lives and empower them to do things that God had planned for mankind to do. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. And you have to look at it through the eyes of love. See, God is saying, hey, no, you don't need to covet your neighbor's wife. Said, you seek me and I'll give you a woman finer than your neighbor. You know, so I'm just probably being facetious now, but you get the message, all right? So he's saying that with this blessing, all struggles disappear. Amen. All struggles. And even if you're in a struggle or something is difficult, if you just trust and embrace the blessing will turn that struggle from that struggle into a place where you are blessed in your life. Say amen to that. So that's what it's all about. So this blessing is your portion. It is a portion for what we call the firstborn. And the firstborn here in terms of, glory to God. Boy, and am I getting too deep here for you? All right. So this blessing is tracked. We can track it. And we picked up at Abraham, where it says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, and God spoke to Abraham and said, for him to come out of the country, get thee out of thy country from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. Now, what is he doing there? He's getting him to come off the system that he's been trusting in. Because if you trust in that system, then the power of the blessing will be delayed. In other words, it won't flow like it should, because the blessing only flows by faith. And faith demands that God be your only source. So he had to take him out of there. Now look at the next verse. And I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in these shall all families of the earth be what? Be blessed. So in this, God is planning on not only blessing Abraham, but he's planning on making his name great. And we said in the Amplified, it says that he'll make his name famous and distinguish. If you can put the Amplified translation up there in verse 2, the Amplified, please. And he said he would make his name, I'll make your name famous and distinguished. Say, me too.
Me too.
All right, that's for you too. That's not just for him. Now, why does he want to do that? He's not trying to make your name famous and distinguished so you can say, "How look how big I am." He's trying to get you famous and distinguished, one, to fulfill the covenant that he made with Abraham. And also, he wants you to be an influence for everybody around you. He wants, see, one of the best ways to lead a person is by influence. I'll say it again. One of the best ways to lead a person is by influence. So God is going to raise you up so you can have influence. Now, what are you going to influence? The end game of a godly leader is to lead a person to Christ. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get him hooked on the same blessing that you hooked on, because you cannot receive the blessing if you're not born again. All right? Now, what we said is that the blessing itself knows what to do. So once the blessing is on your life, it goes to work 24/7, goes to work bringing you into opportunities, bringing opportunities to you, causing things to manifest for you. It eliminates struggles that you have in your life. Now, this is a blessing working on you now. Say, I am blessed
with the blessing of the Lord.
So what we ran up on is a scripture found in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Another way of saying that in the New International Version, he said that the blessing of the Lord brings what? Well, without painful toil. All right, now, I'm just say this, please. Let me just say this, because I just want to make sure you get all of this. This blessing is a supernatural power of God, which brings everything. Favor, prosperity, healing and health, deliverance. It brings supernatural promotion, supernatural preservation. It brings supernatural business strategies. All of the blessing does that. Now, when Joseph spoke about the dream that he had to his brothers now got envious, and they wanted to kill him at first, but decided not to. But you know, understand that if you have the blessing functioning, they can't kill you. They can't kill you. Now, we're gonna get there here this morning. So they decide to throw him in a pit, and they put him in a pit, but along comes a traveling band of Ishmaelites. Now, what we said is these businessmen that came along, now they're riding on camels now. They're not taking a high-speed train or an airplane or something. So for them to get there, they had to be traveling for a while. And what we said to you is that the blessing on your life works 24/7. Watch this. And prepares your deliverance before you get in the hole. Got it? Now, your job is to keep your confession right. Look what it says over in Isaiah. This is a new scripture here. Isaiah chapter 65. And he says in verse 16, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall be blessed himself in the God of truth. I want to take that part of that verse right there and look at it in the Amplified translation, if you will. He said in the Amplified, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. You got it? So you can confess life over your life. You can confess healing. You can confess deliverance. Come on, you can confess. Now, your job is not to get down there in the hole and hate. You can't hate, because the blessing works by faith and faith works by love. So you got to love your neighbor. You got to love those that persecute you. So here's what Jesus said. This is in Matthew's gospel and chapter 5. So in Matthew chapter 5, he starts teaching on the blessing. And verse 1, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught and said, blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, come on, for they shall see God. Now that's kind of interesting right there. We might talk about that before we finish, because we're going to talk about Job, and we're going to talk about the heart. Look what he said in verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, what do? Rejoice and be what? Exceeding glad. I mean, you ought to jump up and down shouting down in that hole. And my point to you is because you're coming out. Now, where was Joseph headed? He was headed one place, to the top. And so are you. You are headed one place to the top. Say amen to that. Look at Psalm chapter 113, please. And Psalm chapter 113, and let's start here at verse, glory to God, 7. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. So he can take a person that you have in your life today, or you in your life, wherever you are, God's going to take you up. And by the way, he's going to make you rich and famous. Say amen to that. So when you read these things, these are parts of your inheritance. And God wants you to receive these things. The Bible says the promise was not only to Abraham, but to Abraham and his seed. Well, the Bible says in Galatians, if you look at that, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says it was to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed, which is who? Christ. Now, look at verse 29. But if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, come on, and heirs according to the promise. Notice what the Bible refers to Jesus as in the New Testament. It keeps calling him the firstborn of many brethren. So he got the anointing and the blessing on his life because there's only one blessing. And when you write blessing from now on, capitalize the T and V, and also capitalize the B in blessing. And that will help you to get a consciousness of that there's only one blessing, and this blessing is on my life. And the way I got it on my life, that is anyone that is in Christ gets the blessing as well. So the same blessing Jesus used to heal the sick, raise the dead, multiply loaves and fishes, that same blessing is on my life. Jesus didn't do it because he was God. He did it because he was the last Adam. And he did it that way to show you that what he did, you can do too. You see, he wanted to show us that he had to come as a man. Now, we know he was fully God and fully man, but he said that God had ability aside. Somebody said, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, if he were God, how was he going to grow in wisdom? Say amen to that. So my point to you is, Jesus is showing the things that he did, you can do too. You can stop storms. You can raise the dead. Come on. You can cast out devils. You can feed 5,000 plus 20,000. Come on. Everything he did, you can do. Because you got the blessing of Abraham and it's on your life. Say, the blessing of the Lord is on my life right now. bringing me wealth,
bringing me wealth.
In, with no toil.
With no toil.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right, so here is this blessing. Now, let's go to Job, because this story of Job has somehow been turned around here. And as a result of that, people have lost faith in what God wanted them to have faith in. And that was most of that being the blessing. All right, now, if you look at this in Job, it starts off where it talks about this man in the land of Uz, and his name was Job, and he was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. In verse 2, it says, were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Say 7 sons.
7 sons.
And 3 daughters.
3 daughters.
Say fruitful.
Fruitful.
Say the blessing makes me fruitful. Now don't be concerned about whether you're too old. If you're young, if you're married, and you had never been able to have kids, thank God you're here, because from now on, if you desire, that the blessing can make you fruitful. Now somebody, I don't know about that. Hey. B.W. said this, and I read it right out of his Bible. Look at Hebrews 11:11. Look at Hebrews 11:11. Come back to Job. Look at Hebrews 11:11. Praise God. I think that's the verse. And look what it says. Watch this. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received to conceive. See. How old was Sarah? Come on, how old was she? 90 years old. But she received what?
Strength.
Now, where'd she get the strength from? Wait a minute now. Look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. See, I'm gonna work you like a Philadelphia lawyer. I'm gonna make it so that my case is gonna be so airtight that the devil can't fool you anymore. Look what it says, saying with a loud voice, this is your inheritance. Now, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and what else? Riches and what else? Wisdom and what else? Strength, that's part of your inheritance. Part of your inheritance is that when you get older, like Caleb was, he said in Joshua, he said, I am 85, but I am strong as I was when I was 40. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know how old you are, but you still got room to kick. And you see what I'm saying? Come on, come on. The blessing of the Lord is on your life. See, all you need is somebody to tell you this. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Look at this scripture. He says this, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no what? Knowledge. It's knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, you'll go into captivity. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you knowledge. I'm giving you stuff that you should right now get the CD, go through it again, get it down in your system, because the devil's trying to get you to get out of here before your time. But I'm saying with the blessing, you can fulfill your destiny. Praise God. Guaranteed. Oh, that's what I like right there. Guaranteed. All right, so let me keep going here. Y'all got me preaching here now. Isn't this good? This is the blessing that is on your life. All right, now, so here he was, had three daughters and 7 sons. All right, his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. Now, I'm not going to go through that. That's the financial statement of Job, all right? And then it says, his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters and to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. And he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. All right, this is where we take off right here. Now, what was happening with Job with this? Now, his kids were obviously not showing the same reverence to God as he was, which is probably in many cases today. All right? So let's see how Job handled this, because this is a teaching for us. The Bible says that the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And so we're going to look at this and see a mistake perhaps that Job made that we're not going to make. All right. So now in this, Job did this continually. Now understand what was after Job. The devil. The devil was after Job because Job was the richest man in the East. And this kept multiplying. He was going to be the richest man in the East and the West. You see, he's going to have more influence. So the enemy's got to stop his rise, like he tried to stop Joseph's rise. But if you hang on to the blessing and have confidence in what God said this blessing will do for you, that this blessing will turn your mourning into joy, into dancing. All right, so what happened? Now, Satan has got Job offering this every day. Now, what is Job getting into as he's sacrificing every day and praying for these kids? He's getting into worry. All right, let's look up here. Look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look over here at Matthew's gospel, please. And let's look at Matthew chapter, chapter 6. I think it is. All right, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Let's look at it. He says, chapter 25. Let's just go to 25. You've read that one before. Okay, verse 25. Verse 25, please. And he said this, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Stop. Let's look at that same scripture in another translation, please. In the next translation we see here, which is the, please put it up there, you got that stuff back there. He says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Not to worry. So he's telling them, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about this everyday life. Now that's for you. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, God, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, let's take that scripture and put it up there in the Good News Bible or Living Bible translation. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So right there, don't worry about what? Anything. But suppose it's the kids, Lord. Suppose it's the kids. Come on, come on. Don't worry about anything. Now, if I violate the commands of God, I won't get something. Look what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Keep your hand there in Job. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And the Lord shall send upon thee. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, please. Praise God. What's happening back there? God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Watch this. And all these blessings shall come on you, and if thou shalt hearken to the voice. Well, his voice just told you something. Don't worry about anything. I don't care how serious it is. I don't care what the doctor just said. I don't care what your checkbook just said. I don't care if you just missed the airplane. I don't care whatever it is. Don't worry. Now, can't you see that if you worry about something, you've just violated the terms of the blessing, and now the blessing is cut short in your life, and where you will be delivered, because the blessing promises you and guarantees you that, now the blessing is not working, and you stay in the situation that you're in, and wonder, where is the Lord? The Lord is on the outside of your worry. I'm just saying, if you'll stop worrying, you'll see the Lord show up. Look what it says in 1 Peter and chapter 5, and starting here at verse 6. I'll start right there. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, under the word of God. Whatever the word of God says, get under it, praise God. It doesn't make any difference if it makes sense or not. You see, what people think is that worry is being responsible. I beg to differ. Worry is irresponsible. And it's irresponsible because you think that money is going to come in if you can worry. Your worry separates you from the power of the blessing, and that money is going to stay right out there. So what you're supposed to do is, instead of worrying, pray about it, and then take verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Look at the next part. Verse 8, be sober now and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking around now, seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast. How? In the faith. See, you got to resist him by faith. You got to say it and believe what you said is going to come to pass. My God shall supply all my need. My expectation is only from him. Look what he says in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 5. I'm talking about all this is you now. And you got to know, my soul wait only upon God, for my expectation is, hey, God is going to deliver me. Just like he delivered Abraham, he gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Sarah, he gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Joseph, he gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Gideon, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Esther, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Ruth, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Nehemiah, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Jeremiah, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Peter, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Paul, he's gonna deliver me. Just like he delivered Jesus, he's gonna deliver me. Are you in a pit? I got news for you. Deliverance is on the way. Rejoice, glory to God. Sit down. Now, you don't need to worry. The blessing knows what to do. God has prepared your deliverance before you got in that mess. But you got to make room for God. And you do that when you don't worry. Isn't this wonderful? So here's Job. And now Job had been worrying and so forth. What happened? Here comes the devil. And Satan now comes to God. And God said to Satan in verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and that chews evil, stays away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear you for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And you have what? Bless the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touches all that he hath, and he's going to curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Now behold, all that he has is in your hand, in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now this is where some people started to say that God sick Satan on Job. You know what I mean by that? Like he's sick a dog on somebody. No. What you saw was God telling the truth. Because he won't lie even to Satan about you. And Satan came up and inquired, and he told him the truth. Now, what am I saying next? Next, Satan came in on Job because he saw the hedge was down in his life. And he began to attack him. Now, as he began to attack him, he attacked him and took away some things. Now, Job had a very prosperous life. He had he reverenced God, and he had beautiful family, and he had a nice business, big business. He was respectable in the community. Everything. He was blessed. But when Satan came in on him, he wiped him out. He came in. So that's a picture right there of Satan. Now, let me show you this, because this is key. Go over here, if you will, and put something right there. Let's go to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 again. I don't know whether we went to 28. All right, now what we read in 28 was the blessings. Blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall you be. But there are also curses. And look at that in verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, or to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your store." Now come on down to verse 20. "And the Lord shall send upon you cursing and vexation. Verse 21. "And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to you." Now if you look at that, it makes it seem like God is causing these things to happen. The causative. But it's not. It's a permissive. God is permitting them to happen. Are you with me? And what you don't resist is allowed to remain. The Bible says over in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will" what? "Flee." He'll flee from you. You got to resist him. I said, you got to resist him. And how do you resist him? With the word of God. Faith in God's word resists the devil. So now here in this, it's saying it looks like God is doing that to him. Now let's see what happened. The curses are out here right now. They're out here in full force. They're out here, folks. You can have a baby born deformed. All the curses are out here. But the blessing is available. And the blessing is designed to remove the curse. Say amen.
Amen.
So there's no trace of the curse ever being there. Is it the right bunch here? So I'm saying to you, how did the blessing get out there? It got out there to Adam. And the blessings are all out there. I mean, this world is hostile to God right now. Why? Because Satan enforces the curse on people's lives. See, it wasn't, Satan had a hand in making Job sick. Look at Job chapter 2, if you will, and verse 7. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. So Satan did that. Satan brought that pneumonia. Satan brought that. He talks about over in Luke chapter 13. Jesus said, wait a minute. Should not this woman be loosed who Satan has bound? Lo, these 18 or 13 years, whatever it was. And I'm saying Satan does that. See, some people think God put Satan on him. Hey, Satan is self-employed. God is not employing Satan to do nothing. God teaches you by his word, not by the devil beating you and kicking you all over town. He teaches you through his word. Say amen to that. All right, so then next thing you know, look at Satan now. He's even talking to Job's wife, verse 9. And then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? Now, what is happening here? This is where Satan is using everything possible to stop Job. He has used destroying his business, destroying his cattle, destroying his children, destroying everything to make Satan turn back, because he said, God, Job is only serving you because of what you can give him. Say amen to this. And so God said, God knew that wasn't the case. And what you got to do is understand that, wait a minute, God is going to have you, Lord have mercy. God is raising you up. And in that raising up, Satan tries to come in on a weak side to try to stop your rise. Because in Job chapter 8 and verse 7, though your beginning be small, your latter end, come on, is going to greatly increase. Now, this should happen to you. If it's not happening to you, somewhere you're opening a door here for Satan to keep you where you're at. Say amen to that. Now, if you mess up, fess up and get up. And when you see, he knows you might mess up here, mess up there. Fess it up. Once you fess it up, he forgives you. He wipes it clean so you can start again. See, Satan don't want you to fess up. Satan wants you to be full of pride. Oh, I ain't done nothing. I'm so full. Yet something happened because God doesn't change. What he said in here about Abraham, he said about you. What he said and did for Bill Winston, he's going to do for you. We came here with $200 and now we're broadcasting to 800 million households. You explain that. I can tell you how you can explain it. The blessing of Abraham is on this man's life. And that same blessing is on you, and it's where you should be right now. Glory to God in heaven. So what am I saying to you? Here is Job. Now he's trying to discover what he did. But look what Satan did. He closed in on him with fear. In Job chapter 3 verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come to me. Now what was he doing here? This fear had built up such that even when Job was sacrificing, he was sacrificing in fear. And you can do the same thing with the Word of God. You have not taken the time to put the Word of God in your heart, and so there's no believing of it in there. And what you're saying is what you're releasing is spirits of fear. And you're saying some words, but you're releasing fear. I'm saying take time, get in the Word of God, give it some study, let that Word of God sink down inside of you, and then begin to decree a thing, and it shall be established. Say amen to that. So what am I saying? I'm saying Satan can close in on a person with such fear, I'm telling you, that you don't know which way to turn. He can cripple you in terms of God's blessing coming through your life. And so now you got to settle down. So what Job did is he then started to discover. He said in Job chapter 6 and verse 23, "Oh, deliver me from the enemy's hand. Redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me and I will," come on, say it. "Hold my tongue." Why? Because life and death are where? The power of the tongue. Now make me understand where I have erred. Get down off your high horse. God is not trying to keep something from you. He's trying to get this world to you. And so you have been making a mistake. And soon as Job did that, his friends closed in on him, and they tried to convince him that it was really God, and God was doing some things to him to teach him a lesson. And no, thank God, but Job began to start waking up over in Job chapter 13 verse 15. And Job said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." What was Job saying? Job was saying, "I'm not serving him for the money. I'm not serving him for a new house. I'm not serving him for a new car. I'm not serving him because he can get me out of debt. I'm serving him because he is God Almighty. And I'm serving him, and I'll serve him forever." And folks, you're going to have to come to that place. I remember in this place when I came to Chicago, everything looked like it was closing in on me. I only had enough money to get my family's clothes and go over to the washateria, whatever the place is called, and wash my family's clothes. I had holes in my shoes. Didn't even have enough money to fix it. And I began to cry out. I said, "Lord, it can't be you. Do you want me to go back to Minneapolis? Do you want me to go back to IBM?" And then something rose up inside of me. And I said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And when I made that decision, everything broke. And you make that decision, it's going to break in your life. Satan cannot hold you any longer because you are blessed of the Lord. Woo-wee! Sit down. What am I telling you? This happened to Job. It doesn't have to happen to you. You don't have to go through hell to get to heaven. But my point to you is this, that the blessing is on you. Come back in line with that blessing. And when you do, you'll see something happen. So Job's friends tried to convince him, but here come a young preacher. He began to preach the word. And next thing, Job started getting back over into faith. And when he got back over in the faith, look at verse 10 of chapter 42. "And as the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Come on, somebody. And look at verse 12. "And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job greater than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000. And look what he had, verse 13. "And he had also 7 sons," come on, "and 3 daughters." Look at God replacing everything that the devil stole. "And he called the name of the first one Jemima," Jamie. "And the next one was called Kizzy. And the next one was called Karen," praise God. "And in all that land, there was no one woman found as fair as his daughters," the daughters of Job. "And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren." What am I saying? I'm saying not only are you you guaranteed a perpetual prosperity, but you're also guaranteed to pass it on to your next. Come on. God has a generational prosperity that he's working out in your life. And look at verse 16. And after this, Job lived what? 100 and how many years? 40 years. And saw his sons, come on, and his sons' sons, four generations. And Job died being what? Oh, and full of days. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to die old and full of days. The devil is not going to take you out before your time. My friends, this blessing is so powerful, but it demands that you walk by faith. It demands that you stay in love. And when you have this blessing inside of you, realize that you gotta think and see something bigger than money. You see, that's not gonna take you but so far. And that's why when David came to the front line and they accused him of leaving sheep and coming up there trying to show out in front of all the men where Goliath was taunting Israel, David says, is there not a cause? Now, what is he saying? He's saying, get a hold of something that's bigger than yourself. You see, you'll find that people who got a cause, it seems like people who go all the way. People who got a cause, they can see it. Here's what Martin Luther King said. He said, I may not get there with you, but we as a people shall get to the promised land. You see, he had a cause. He had something bigger than himself that he was willing to give himself for. And I'm saying you got a cause called Jesus Christ and the anointing to rescue the helpless world. And I'm saying see that cause bigger than any money that somebody can give you. I'm saying this is your day now. God is taking you to the top, but he wants you to go with the right attitude. Say amen to that. George Washington Carver asked God, said, what is the universe for? God says, ask something more your size, little man. He said, well, what is man for? And what is the peanut for? He said, I want you to increase your extent and decrease. No, I want you to decrease your extent and increase your intent. Now, what is he saying with him here? He is saying, no. You don't understand. I want you to ask something small enough so you can handle it. And then I want you to increase the intent by which you want to know the answer. You got what I'm saying? It's amazing how the intentions of the heart will work the prosperity of God in your life. So I'm just saying, as we go for this thing, go for something bigger than what the blessing can give you. Let's go for the bigness of what the blessing can do for the world. Now give God praise. Let's thank him for it. If you're here and God is speaking to you about being born again because you can't get this blessing without the new birth, I'm calling on you right now, whoever you are, let me pray for you the same prayer they prayed for me that night on the north side of Chicago that saved my life. I was in church, but church wasn't in me. And just because I was going did not guarantee me heaven. So as I cried out one night, God sent a lady from the company by my desk and she took me to a meeting. And I'm telling you, that meeting changed my life. That night I gave my life to the Lord. And once I did, everything started to change. I got totally out of debt. I got to be number one in sales downtown in computers in Chicago. I've got all this happened to my life. I'm just saying what God did for Bill Winston, he's ready to do for you. So whoever you are, it's time for you to receive the blessing. It's time for you to have it so that you are protected, your children are protected. Everything that God has for you will come to fulfillment. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me, come on. Without being ashamed, without being...